Good morning, and grace and peace to you. Mike was talking about praying for the election, and we were talking in our ministry meeting, and next Sunday morning is going to be pretty much devoted to prayer, and prayer for the election in particular. We'll have a short lesson on prayer, and then that's what we'll be doing. So I encourage you to come out for that and join our hearts and minds and souls together in prayer for the country and for the kingdom and for all the problems going on in the world. Galatians 2:20, we're going to start there this morning. Thank you for the song, Don. Redeemed. We should sing that with fervor and joy, excitement in our hearts. Christianity is filled with apparent contradictions. In order to receive, you must give away. The last shall be first. To be free, you must become a slave. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about, as you can see there from your scriptures, from your little bookmark, in order to live, you must die. This conundrum is presented many places in Scripture. We're going to focus on Paul's words in Galatians 2:20. And I like to say that this passage of Scripture here is pretty much the Christian faith in a nutshell. If you ever need a little boost during the day to be reminded of what things are, what's going on, who you are, just go to Galatians 2:20 and read it and meditate on it a little bit, and you will be able to refocus on your foundation in Christ and what's going on in your life. In Galatians, Paul is very much contrasting law and grace as well as law and faith. And he teaches this because of the law of Moses. Many of his converts were Jews, and they had a tendency to hang on to the law and to focus upon law-keeping as a way to salvation. But he maintains and says that that is not the case, that law is not the way to salvation, but only by the grace of God. How is it that a person must die in order to live? This is what we want to talk about. In the Galatians chapter 2, I'm actually going to start with verse 19. You say, Jeff, you do this all the time. Well, yes, I do. But set a little context here. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. I've been crucified with Christ. We know the crucifixion of Jesus is a central tenet of Christianity. It was there, of course, that he offered himself, that God offered his Son, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. And it was a horrible death, a painful death, and a shameful death. And we study about that, we think about that, and we read about it all the time. But the key thing is that Jesus died. That's what the cross is about, that he was offered as a sacrifice for our sins. As Peter says, in his own body on the tree, he bore our sins. That's what the cross was about. Now, we could talk about the cross at length, and there are many lessons to learn from it, but that is the point that's being made. He died so he could take away our sins. We can take this example from the physical world, dying in order to be free. Jesus died to free us from our sins, actually to free us from law. We're going to look at a scripture here in a moment. But when a person dies, you know, you no longer have to pay taxes, right? I mean, I'm not being glib about this. When you die, you don't have to pay bills anymore, right? When you die, you don't have to go to work or scrub floors or go to the doctor or experience illness or any of this. You're free. You are free. And so in the same way, Jesus taking our sins and dying to the world, dying to this life, he is able to free us from all these things of the world, so we can walk in love and walk in grace. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Paul, in his chapter on resurrection, you know, and we had this not too long ago, where this is being written to Christians who are anticipating the resurrection or anticipating salvation, and if you will, sticking out their tongue at death. Verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You know, those who be resurrected, the sting of death is sin, okay? We've said this 100 times. This is why people die, because of sin. Sin came into the world back in the garden. And the power of sin is the law. You see, when God says, these are the things you should do, these are the things you should not do, and we fail at keeping God's law. We read that in Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So law cannot save us because we cannot keep law without stumbling over part of it. We just can't do it because we are weak through the flesh. And so Jesus came to take our sin. He lived the perfect life, became the perfect Lamb of God, and was able to take our sins and die with them so we might be free of sin. Back in Galatians there in chapter 3, let's just drop down and see what Paul goes on to talk about. Chapter 3:10. For as many as of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things, you see. All things. You couldn't fail in any single thing under the law, or you were done. You were condemned. It was over. In all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for, and he gets a quotation here, the righteous man shall live by faith. That's from Habakkuk. That's back in the law in the Old Testament. The righteous man shall live by faith. Now, he's not talking there about how you conduct your life. He's talking about living before God and having life eternal. That's what he's talking about. You can get that confused here when you read about this. Is he talking about how to live your life? Was he talking about how to have life eternal and not have death? Verse 12, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Okay? Not how you conduct your life, but will you have good standing before God in the day of judgment? And the answer is no, because again, we cannot keep the law. 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, you see. having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so he took our sins, he took the curse of the law, and it went with him to his grave. So this is why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Because that allows him to take advantage of the death of Christ and how he took sins and died with sin to be free from sin, to be free from law. Just as an aside, too many Christians don't understand this and try to turn the New Testament into a second law. And I'm not going to go too much further with that, but we need to remember we are saved by grace and we are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and by faith in him, as we read here in Galatians 2:20. We'll look at that in a minute. Paul didn't die by himself. That would have accomplished nothing. He died, as he says, with Christ. Only Christ's death has the saving power. Only Christ's death has standing before God, because only Christ was perfect. And he could offer himself as a blood sacrifice. So Paul didn't die by himself, so Paul doesn't live by himself either. What does he say next in that verse? And it is no longer I who live, you see. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Paul is talking about this new man. You can read this in Ephesians 4, verse 20 and on, and Colossians also talks about it. I'm not going to go there. The old man of sin needs to be put to death, and the new man needs to be brought to life. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's what Paul's saying. I'm a new man. I'm a new person. He has new purpose in life, new understanding about life, what life is about, new power to live, new vision for life, new hope for the future. He's very much alive. The old Paul is dead. The new Paul is alive. Think about when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting the church. He was saying it was okay for Stephen to be put to death. He was holding the clothes of those who did it. He was putting Christians in prison, and he wasn't worried about what happened to them, locking them up. And Jesus appeared and said, Saul, Saul, what are you doing to me? Why are you persecuting me? And it changed his life. It turned it around, you see. That's the point. The old Saul, Paul, then died when he accepted Christ and was baptized into Jesus, and he became a new person. He died with Christ. He became a new person. And now he has a new focus on life. He says, I need to be preaching this Jesus. He wants me to do it. Preach the word. Live differently. See things differently. Live my life for him, not against him. It's a very plain and great example of what he's talking about, his own life. So he was alive, but there was a new Paul, not the old one. Things were different. And this is important for all of us to remember who are Christians and have been baptized into Christ, that, you know, that old man of sin has got to die. We sometimes want to hang on to some of those things, some of those idols in our hearts, some of those things we really love, but they are really getting between us and our service to God. They're really dragging us down. They're really taking too much of our time, too much of our energy, too many of our resources and so forth. And we got to say, wait a minute, this is not helping me serve the Lord and not helping me grow in the kingdom. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He wasn't even saying he was just living by himself even. Christ lives in me. He's a source of life and new life in Paul. His word of truth, his love, his promises, his resurrected life. We might argue here, and we're going to go to John 14. But Paul's talking about the Holy Spirit. That Christ lives in me by the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16, listen to Jesus' words. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The helper word there, your translation may say comforter or paraclete. It's the parakletos word, advocate or intercessor. One called alongside to help. Notice, another helper. Jesus considered himself in that particular situation as being their rabbi and teacher, as a helper, as an intercessor, and as an advocate. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Notice, I will come to you. It's the Godhead, you see. Yes, they are three persons, but on the other hand, they are one. So Jesus says that by sending the Holy Spirit to be with them, to be in them, that he was coming to them. And so we see Paul here saying, not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ is the life giver. Sin kills, Jesus frees and gives life. So then he goes on to say, in the life which I now live in the flesh. All right? In other words, in the body. He's not talking about the fleshly, you know, part of works of the flesh, but he says, I'm still in this body, okay? And I'm still living in this body, but it's a different life. And there's still things to do after we die with Christ and are raised again and receive salvation and we are redeemed. We've seen through history some of these people that in order to get close to God, they go off and live somewhere by themselves and just meditate in the woods and that kind of a thing. Or mystic isolation. You've heard of mystics and that type of thing. And they don't associate with people very much. And they think this is what being a Christian is. I'm just going to be spiritual. You hear that these days. I'm going to be spiritual. Okay. I understand that. But the Christian life isn't just about being spiritual and getting close to God. There are things to do. We have a life still to live in this body. And as we know, it's a life of service. It's a life of love. It's a life of giving. It's a life of caring for people, those in need and for prayer and all these kinds of things. And so Paul is saying, you know, I'm still living in this body. I'm still living in this flesh. There's much to be done. And of course, if you read through the New Testament, you see what Paul did with his life. All his trips and journeys and so forth and so on. But that life which I now live in the flesh, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's not faith in Paul's strength. It's not faith in Paul's background. We know he jettisoned that background, you know, the Hebrew of the Hebrews and so forth and so on. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He says, no, that's not what it's about. It's not about me. It's about faith in Christ. The first of all, that he has saved me, he has freed me from sins, and that I don't have to worry about my salvation. How many of you worry about your salvation? I know some people do. You worry, I haven't done enough. Anybody here? You hear anybody say that? I haven't done enough. Nobody does enough. No Christian does enough. Believe that. Now, we could all probably do more. And, you know, there's a measure of devotion there and desire. Are we serving the Lord? Are we serving ourselves? And, you know, God will sort that out on the last day, but you have to be honest with God. If you're in Christ, you've been baptized into Christ, and you were sincere about that in your confession, you're saved. You are saved, and that's what Paul's talking about here. I live by faith in the Son of God. He saved me. His blood saved me. And I don't have to worry about that. Now I'll just go out and do what he says. I'll just do my best. And if I fail, you know, go back to 1 John 1, I got to be honest, say, Lord, I failed on that one. Help me to do better next time. Please forgive me. But I'm saved, you see. Some people have the erroneous idea, well, you sin, all of a sudden you're out of the kingdom until you confess your sins and then you're back in the kingdom. It's not that way. The blood of Christ covers us. Okay. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We should all love this part of this verse. This is a great verse. If you don't agree with me, I'm sorry. But to me, this is Christian faith in a nutshell. We remember John 3:16, right? All of you can quote that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting, depending on your translation. God so loved the world. That's nice, you know. The world is big, and the world, you know, from the beginning to the end, billions and billions of people. That's, yes, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your love. But what does Paul say here? God, Jesus, the Son of God, who what? Who loved me. Do you see that? Me, not just the world, me. He knows it's personal. Now, this gives us some insight into our God. If you want to talk about how big he is, we often say that, the capacity of God to love, to know every one of the people that have ever walked on the earth, to know all about them, their whole situation, be able to be the honest judge and all this, and to love each one. He can, you see? And that should just humble us. That God can do that. I mean, we could point fingers and start calling names and say, God loves you, 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 God loves you. He knows you. And Paul here is assured, you know, Paul's inspired. Jesus loved me. And what did he do? He gave himself up for me. Not just for generic population of the world. But he died for me. That brings it home, doesn't it? Paul makes it very personal. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And praise God for his love for the world, but for me. He knows you, and he loves you. Let's read the verse again, and then I want us to close out in Romans 6. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So Paul, when and how was it that you were crucified with Christ? You might get tired of me turning to Romans 6, like I used to go to John 1. But some of these are very key verses in understanding the Christian faith. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death. Whose death, Paul? So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There's the put off the old guy, put on the new. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. There's the very same word in the context of Paul's discussion of baptism. Dying with Christ in the water, being raised up out of the water to newness of life. Our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, forgiveness of sin, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is, there it is, freed from sin. We talked about that earlier. In order to live, you must die. In order to be freed from sin, you must die. In order to be freed from law, you must die. How do we do that? With Jesus Christ. In the waters of baptism. We're freed from sin. We're freed from law. We're freed from fear of death. We're freed from the devil, the power of the devil, to walk with Christ. In order to live, you must die, but you don't have to die by yourself. In fact, you can't die by yourself and live. You have to die with Christ. He's the giver of life. He's the one who conquered death, who conquered sin, who conquered the grave, who conquered the power of Hades and came back. And this is the way we all can live. And this is the way your friends and neighbors can live and your family members can live. Those who don't understand this, that you can share with them Galatians 2:20 and talk a little bit about your own faith and why you live the way you do. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.